Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in John chapter number 4 this morning. John chapter number 4. I may read about 10 verses here. I'm going to use the entire chapter, but just try to share what God's put on my heart. I've had this on me for about a week. I've been thinking on this, and a long time ago, it's been over 20 years ago, I used this title. It's not this message, but I used this title at Fairview Free Will Baptist Church in Livingston. I was down there in revival, and I preached on this thought. I'm taking the thought, and I'm preaching another message, but I want to preach this morning on high noon. High noon. You know, in back in the olden days, somebody said, I'm like Mike Blanton's daddy. They said, Nig, why you watch Westerns all the time? He said, it's simple. It's my TV. That's why he watched them. So I still watch them a lot until that boy shows up, and then it's his TV. But unless he's there, it's Pa's TV, and I watch a lot. And I'm telling you, when it went down big at high noon. When something's going to happen, it's going to happen at high noon. There's an very old Western by that title, matter of fact, and so we'll not get into that. But that's the title of my message this morning, because something transpired here at high noon. Now, if you found John 4 and 1, shout amen for me. Amen. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not. That would destroy a lot of doctrine. Jesus baptized not, but his disciples. That's another message of why Jesus did or didn't baptize. I'm not going to get into that. Paul said he sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, that behind us, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now he's leaving south, he's headed north. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. In Hebrew time, that's high noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. That's very relevant right here. I don't know how many times I've read over this. and it really didn't occur to me the importance that the disciples weren't with Jesus at this time. I'll share it in a moment. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a... Here's two things that should have never happened. One, she's a woman. And two, she's a Samaritan. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, Brother Gordon used this morning in Sunday school, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Father, I love you, and I thank you for the morning. I thank you for helping us today, and for these that have come out into the house of God. And I need your help and your strength today, Lord. I pray that my God would fill my mouth and guard my tongue, preach me in the bounds of your holy writ. And everyone in this room, God, and those watching via the internet would have ears to hear and hearts to receive. God, I pray that you might save somebody through this, Lord. God, my target's not here this morning, so obviously, Lord, you're pointing this at someone else. So do it for your glory and your honor. Help me, Lord, and anoint me afresh and anew that I might preach the gospel. And I ask it today in my King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. A lot of things transpiring in this story. Jesus has just been in chapter 3. Jesus has been speaking to a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. So Jesus, I think something we can see in this is Jesus goes to the religious, but he not only just confines his ministry to the religious, but now he's going to the outcast. He's going to the Samaritans. Something that I want us to consider is Jesus is doing something that he told his disciples in Matthew 10 not to do. He told them not to go but to the lost house of Israel, the children of Israel. First, he sends his disciples. He told them not to go in the way of the Gentiles or into the cities of Samaria. Now Jesus is doing what he told his disciples not to do. Why would he do that? Because Jesus can do more than his disciples. Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above. Jesus is not limited by the law. Bless God, he is the law. So Jesus comes here, and as an introduction this morning, I want us to consider the well. The well is that of Jacob's well. They say modern day, I read some old commentaries, but most agree that they've pretty much determined that this well, they think, being the well, the one we seen in 1999, being the well that Jesus might have leaned on in this time, they're pretty dogmatic about that, this being the site of that well. Well, I'm going to tell you, when we were there in 99, here's what they had. They had a common dipper. There was a girl that was an RN with us in our group. She said this, I wouldn't drink out of that dipper for $1,000. I said, watch this hillbilly drink out of it. Praise God for free. I've been drinking that water for a long time, and I'm going to get a drink out of that well. It was good. I want us to consider that well. Now, here's something that's very important. I want us to consider Jesus waiting. It's not only the well, but it's what he done. He waited. Now his men, his disciples have left him. But his men, they're doing what he said. They're going out. And by the way, they're going in to a Samaritan city to buy something to eat right here. So, by the command of Christ, praise God, he is the law. They're going in there. So, and he recognizes that. And here they are. And they're, but he's waiting at that well. Something interesting in this passage. The Bible said that Jesus was wearied. I can never find where he took a drink while he was there. He was wearied. He was in. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all manner tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, the things that try us tried him. He was tired in body. He was 100% man. Is 100% God. He's tried in the body. He's weary. He's leaning on the well. But he's not just, praise God. He's not just leaning on the well because he's tired. He's waiting on somebody to come by. Why's that? Because he must needs go through Samaria. There's somebody coming he's got an appointment with, and she don't even know it yet. She don't know who's waiting on her at the well, but Jesus knew. He was tired, but he just waiting on this adulterous woman at the well of Jacob. So we see the well, and we see him waiting. Here's what I thought, Brother Gordon, this morning. I thought, my God in heaven. Dennis Bilbrey, one day the well is waiting on you. And that woman had been witnessing to you and witnessing you and praying for you all them times, wanting you to be saved. And when finally it come time for old Dennis to get a dose of the living water, who'd he find at the well? There was Jesus. I must needs go through Crossville, Tennessee to rescue someone that's perishing. Isn't that good? Wherever you were, and you and you and you and you and you and you, wherever you were, you know what Jesus was doing? Robert, he was waiting, brother, to come by, for you to come by, that you might be gloriously saved. Now, that don't sound like much. Don't you think about what that means? That means God stopped what he is doing. I wish I felt better. I'd take a lap right there. God stopped what he was doing to wait on you. My word. Here we are at the well, and he's waiting. But what's he waiting with? He's waiting with the water. So we got the well, which is a physical well. We got him waiting, but the water that he's speaking of isn't natural or physical. It is spiritual water that he's about to give this girl who has no idea what's about to happen to her. Three little things this morning. Of course, there's three. One of these days, I'm going to preach a message with one point. Dusty said you'd put two or three things under it, Dad, and you can't count. Here's what happened at high noon. I want us thinking about this today. Now we see Jesus is waiting, and here she comes. So here's three things that I think transpired that God put on my heart for this event. Number one, this is an uncomfortable event. This is an uncomfortable event. Why do you say that, preacher? Because it's high noon. You know what usually transpires here? The women of the community would be up early in the morning. For the most part, they drew the water. For the most part, they'd done most of the work. For the most part, the men had it made. And they would go early and they would draw the water. Or they would go late. They would go late and draw the water when the heat, the sun had set and it was cooler. Because it can get pretty warm in the middle of the day. And here they are toting this water. And they didn't just go to a spigot. Every time Gary Lewis preaches about turning on the spigot and watching the water, I about fall apart because I know exactly what he's talking about. Brother, but we, even in that, I just had to go out behind the back door to draw the water. I didn't have to go 40, a long ways from the 40 yards, 100 yards from the house. Now they're going a long way. It's an uncomfortable event. Why? It's high noon. She's going in the heat of the day. Oh, this is where it gets good right here. I want us to consider this uncomfortable event and her situation. Well, her situation is this. She's going when there's no other women there. Why would she be doing that? That's exactly right. Shane, do you think that times have changed any now than from that day? Oh no, people like to talk. And everybody's sin is worse than your sin. Oh yeah. I mean, hey, listen, you may be a heathen at the house, but that guy that's out there carrying on into bar stool now, he's a bad sinner. That's why a prophet's not without honor. I'm going to preach that again one of these years. So let's look at her situation. What is it? It's one of shame. Here she is. She was not coming when the rest of the women in. She's enduring the heat to keep from enduring them. She's coming alone. Oh, God, help me right here. And somebody knew she was. It was important. Because not only is it her situation is this, it's sin. That's the situation. That's why the event's uncomfortable. Because it's going to deal with sin. And we could say it's her sin. Why is there a Samaritan? You got to go back 750 years from this time when if you're going to find out why there's Samaritans. Because, you know why? Because sin. The northern 10 tribes are taken into captivity. Why? By the Assyrians. Why? Because of sin. You know what it'll do in your house? It makes no difference if you've been saved 45 years and sin enters in however it comes. I'm telling you, friend, it'll begin to take its toll on you and your family. It'll take its toll on your church life. It'll take its toll on your fellowship with God. You won't have that walk. You won't hear that voice that we talked about this morning. There'll be things you won't have a desire to read. You'll have trouble praying. It won't mean nothing. The things of the world, like we learned about Gehazi this morning, the things of the world begin to mean more than your time with God. You know what it is? It's an uncomfortable event. Here she is. And see, the sin went back. You know where our sin goes back to? Adam. The sin has to be dealt with singular. The men aren't there. The disciples aren't there. Jesus has let them go. Why is that? Because this woman's coming and he's not dealing with them, he's dealing with her. And you know how it'll happen in your life? He's not going to deal with Mark Madden to take care of Marcus. He's not going to do that. He's not going to take the deacon and the trustee board to deal with Marcus. No, if God's going to work on Marcus, God's going to come and it's going to be Marcus and God. Marcus and the Holy Ghost. Marcus and Jesus. It's going to be one-on-one, friend. If she's not one-on-one here, none of this happens. It makes a difference. Listen. Now God may touch someone to speak to someone. And I mentioned it not long ago. I've seen him use George. George's not a, he don't testify a lot. He don't do a lot. I mean, George just comes and sits there and God touched him once in a while and he walked up and just touched somebody and they ran to an altar. But here's the thing. It wasn't George that done that. God's dealing with the person before he ever speaks to George. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be an uncomfortable event. Until you get uncomfortable, you'll never get right with God. You've got to get uncomfortable to be right with God. You've got to get to that place that it's a contrite heart. And it's a broken spirit and a contrite heart. It's got to get to that place. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Now, we see this as an uncomfortable event. But what's this? But then, boy, I like this. Here's what happened. There's an unexpected encounter. There's an unexpected encounter. This woman's not expecting to run into God at the well. She's expecting to go up there and sweat and labor and try to get out of there before she sees anybody else, just like she does every day, and her shacked up boyfriend's at the house. But God's waiting at the well. And so God comes where she's at. And here's what happens. Verse 16 said this. Go call thy husband and come hither. Problem. He's not my husband. Oh, yeah, I know that. You've had five that were. Jesus recognized five husbands. Whether she's been widowed five times, or whether it's by death or divorce, we don't know. But Christ himself recognized five husbands. That says a lot. But the problem is the one you're living with now, he's not your husband. So see, what happened, Brother Robert, is, listen, the sin turns into this. It's an unexpected encounter. Now she's got to deal with self. Oh. We all deal with our own sin. You can't deal with someone else's. And you'll never get any farther than you are with God right now unless you deal with the sin that God has shown you in your life.
Amen.
And don't get too pious, because listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves, and the truth's not in us. That's not a license to sin. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But he's saying this, the Holy Ghost is going to reprove us. God chastens those that he loves, and he chastens us. He shows us our sin. But unless we respond to what God says and does, we stay right there. We don't go nowhere else. That's where America's at. America's blaming it on everybody but theirself. America needs to get in the mirror and say, yeah, there's the problem. Because he reveals sin, but then he self has to deal with it. This is an unexpected encounter. She's not expecting to have to deal with this on this day. Somebody may be in this congregation this morning. You're not thinking about having to deal with your sin today. And all of a sudden, God's painted that thing on the wall for you. Nobody else can see it, but you can. It's like it's in big, bold letters. Right here it is. How do you know that, preacher? Do you think I don't have to deal with my sin? Thank God for preaching.
Amen.
I thank God for, not because I'm a preacher. I thank God for preaching. I've got to have the word of God. I can't do all the preaching. A man that does all the preaching is in trouble. We need preaching ourselves. I listen to preaching often, a lot. She's got to deal with herself. Where's your husband? I don't have one. Jesus said, that's right, you don't. So now, I want you to notice something. She starts out calling him a Jew. Then she calls him sir. But now she's calling him a prophet. It just keeps getting better. She's realizing there's something different about this man. Yeah, look here. He's the Savior. Somehow the Holy Ghost has revealed this to her just because he told her what she had done. And she knew that she didn't know him, but he knew her. So we have this unexpected encounter. Something's happening in her life. What's God doing in your heart right now? God speaking to you? You know you need to respond. God's checked you on a question. Verse 26 says, she says this. Jesus said to her, she said, we're looking for the Messiah to come. There's a whole lot in this about the Samaritans and her knowing the mountain. And I'm not preaching all that this morning. I'm preaching about high noon. And here it is. And it's all this is very uncomfortable. She's having to deal with sin. She's having to deal with self. Now she's dealing with the Savior. The Savior's speaking to her. And he said, hey, the one you've been talking about, the Messiah, I'm he. That's me. That's who I am. What'd she do? She dropped her water pot and run off. The thing, the burden she came with, she left it at his feet. and run off. If I was 20 years younger, I'd jump off this stage right now. The burden she came with, she left at his feet and ran off. Now, watch this. So it's not only an uncomfortable event that takes place. She's in a place where you're at right now this morning. If God's dealing with you in your sin, you're not very comfortable right now. As a matter of fact, you're kind of miserable. And maybe you wasn't expecting it to take place just like this, but God's dealing with you just the same, and you know he is. And you know you need to do something about it. But then it's this. You know what happens to this woman? She has an unforgettable experience. It started out rough. And it gets kept on going. And she wasn't sure how good this was until he said, I'm he. I'm the one. I'm the one you've been looking for. She drops the bucket and she runs off. Jesus is standing there. Praise God. She runs all the way back home and tells him, she said, come see a man. So here's what happened, Brother Stephen. It starts out with this unforgettable experience is this. In verse 29, when she says that, she says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I've done. Look, that's the moment of repentance. She understands it. It's the knowledge of who he is. That's what salvation is. It's coming to the knowledge of knowing that he is the Christ. And then dealing with your sin. What do you do with that? You bring it to him. Say, I've got a lot. You don't have too much, and he can't take care of it. As wicked as this world is right now, the sin debt has been paid. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The problem is, it's like owing the bank money and them saying, come and get your certificate, and you can say it's paid in full, and you saying, I don't believe you, so I'm not coming to get it, and the debt's still there. So we see an unforgettable experience in her salvation, but it doesn't stop there, and it's what we're trying to do today. Her experience continued in this, it wasn't just her salvation, but it was her sharing what had happened to her. Someone told me one time, said, and it might have been someone in here, I'll just remember the response, I don't remember the person. They said, preacher, I'm just not good at testifying. I don't know how to witness to people. In my opinion, the best preacher apart from Jesus Christ was the Apostle Paul. Now, some would say one of the others, and I won't argue, but in my own personal opinion, maybe it's because he's the apostle to the Gentiles. I don't know, but he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he's from your tribe, Barry. But you know what the greatest preacher besides the Lord Christ done when he began to witness to people? He just told them what happened to him. You know why? Because no one has that but you. Now we're back to the part of personal, one-on-one. Because God done it for you, and he didn't do it. Now, salvation is of him wholly and completely. Salvation, listen, is of the Jews. It come through the bloodline, down through Christ. We know that, understand that. And we're all saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. We understand that. But every personal experience is a little different. Some of you may have been saved in a vacation Bible school. Some of you may have been saved in a revival meeting. Some may have been saved on a Sunday morning meeting, who knows, however, camp meeting, whatever. Some may have been saved one-on-one with someone at your home. I have probably led a number of people to the Lord in hospital rooms. But when the Lord saved me, it was one-on-one. I'd heard enough preaching on hell to save the world. That's all they preached about when I was a boy. Hell, every service. You're going to die and go to hell. Now, they throwed a little cross and blood in there and saved by grace, but the theme of most of the messages I remember was hell. I'm telling you, by the time I'm about 11 years old, I'm hearing this, I know I'm going to go to hell. There's no doubt about it. I'm a rotten boy. It wasn't that I was burning buildings and doing things like that. George and I did start one or two fires in our day, but we never caused anybody's house to burn. But God convicted me. He was waiting on me. He's waiting. He knew the path I was going to take. God's waiting on me that day. And when I come to where he was, then he dealt with me one-on-one in my sin. Nobody else around, just me and the Lord. And all I knew to do was cry and say, I don't want to go to hell. But I knew who I was crying to. And what the difference is this. The moment you begin to speak to him, you have enacted faith. When you begin to speak to him whom you've never seen, you are saying with your mouth, confess, and with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth, confessions made unto salvation. And when you begin to speak to him, you are enacting, you are saying, I believe you're who you say you are, and I'm asking you for something. And you respond, and he's waiting, Verena. And we're trying to share that this morning. I told them in the prayer room today, I had someone on my heart heavy this message was for. And guess what, Dennis? They're not in the building. They're not in the building today. But see, God was way ahead of me. Just pick something, see us and play it. God's way ahead of me. And he waits at the way. He says, I'll take that burden. I'll take your burden. You can leave it right here and you can run off. You won't, listen, I'm going to give you something that's going to last you. I got living water. I've got living water. Do you need that today? Before we stand, bow our head, before Brother Randall comes and gets this song, if you need that today, you know what you ought to do? You ought to get up right now and come. God's revealed something to you in your life. You ought to come to a place of repentance, a mourner's bench, and call upon the name of the Lord. And say, be merciful to me, a sinner, or say, Lord, help me. So like Paul, Brother Paul Phillips, when he stood up that night, said God saved him when he stood up. Why? God knew what he was about to do. All he's waiting for a response from him. What's he waiting on this morning? If this, watch this, and I'm going to let him come get a song. If this girl never goes to the well, there's a good chance she dies lost, and all them people that come later and she shared and they believed, they could have died lost too. She come to the well. I wonder if you need to come today. Brother Randall, come. Come and get that song, and we'll stand to our feet and we're going to sing. And if you need something from heaven today, whether it's salvation, help, get rid of a burden, whatever it might be, I encourage you to come.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.